This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Well, hello and welcome to the Scottish Sun podcast in association with bookmakers William Hill. I'm Robert Grieve. With me today is Colin Duncan. Good morning, Colin.
Morning, Robert.
It's the Monday morning after the weekend before. Colin, Old Firm weekend, a huge game at Ibrox. You were there. I had the weekend off. Wasn't at the game, but I've seen all about it. I've read all about it. What can you tell me who wasn't there, Colin? What happened? How good were Celtic? Let's start with them first of all. How good were they?
Celtic were exceptional again. I mean, they've dominated all the, apart from the game at Parkhead where Rangers got a draw, they've completely bossed every Old Firm game this season, streets ahead of Rangers. And as Michael Lustig said this morning, it could have been 10, and Rangers could have no complaints if Celtic had hit double figures. That's how far they were ahead of them. It's probably the most one-sided Old Firm game I've watched in the last 30 years. That's how far Celtic were ahead.
We've seen Celtic dominate Rangers earlier in the previous games this season, but to do it at Ibrox when the league's done, it's done and dusted, to go there and be as dominant, it speaks volumes for them, doesn't it?
It just tells you what this Celtic team under Brendan Rodgers are all about. You know, the fact, you know, you could have forgiven them for taking their foot off the gas a little bit. You know, they've got a Scottish Cup final to come up, just ease themselves through the last 4 or 5 games of the season, but you know, nothing could have been further from the truth. They were right at Rangers. I mean, they could have should have scored inside 90 seconds, I think, when Callum McGregor had a shot that was blocked by Clint Hill. If he squared it to Lee Griffiths, there had a tap in, and that just set the tone. You know, the penalty that Rangers conceded, you know, needless, crazy, but that just, when your mind's scattered, your brain's all over the place, that's the kind of mistakes a team like Celtic pressure you into making. And they just created chance after chance after chance. I mean, it was like the siege of the Alamo. First time ever they scored 5 goals at Ibrox.
I was going, we'll come to Rangers in a minute, but Celtic should get an enormous amount of credit for this performance, shouldn't they? Because we will analyse Rangers and people will criticise Rangers, but to go there and be as dominant, to be as forceful as that in an Old Firm game, you have to give Celtic credit for that. It's real team performance to go there and play that well.
Celtic are all about pace and they're all about power. They're relentless. They swarm all over you, and Rangers simply didn't have an answer to them. I mean, you could go through the entire Celtic team and 7, 8, 9 out of 10, every single player right through from the goalkeeper. You know, they've got a job to do, and they do it exceptionally well. I mean, Kieran Tierney was terrific again. I mean, Rangers made it easy for him in the fact that he had no defensive duties. He was just able to bomb up and down that left flank. And, you know, what an engine, what great game awareness he's got, you know, just to continually get forward and support. Lustig was similar on the other side, you know, down the right, capped off another terrific display. I mean, his goal at the end is Messi-like almost. You know, he gets the ball, goes past 3 players and curls it into the bottom corner for the 5th. I mean, that just put the icing on the cake as far as Celtic were concerned. But I mean, they created so many chances. And another day, Sinclair could have had a hat-trick. McGregor had 2 or 3 chances. Griffiths was except. You know, that's without Moussa Dembele. You know, Lee Griffiths comes into the side. I thought he had a terrific game. You know, he was at the heart of everything good that Celtic did. You know, creative, linked play well, stunning goal. You know, you could go through every Celtic player in that team, and they were just playing at the top of their game.
I was going to come to Lee Griffiths because he's getting his chance in the team now with Moussa Dembele injured. He may not play again this season, time will tell, and we'll see in that one. But that's good news for Scotland, isn't it? We've got a huge game against England June the 10th at Hampden, and we've got Lee Griffiths back on form and playing well. That's got to be a good thing for Gordon Strachan.
I think me and Gordon Strachan would have been watching that game, and he must have been absolutely delighted to watch Griffiths. You know, for a start, I mean, that's where Scotland's problems have been, really, in the striking department. And in the current campaign, Griffiths looked, for somebody that hasn't played too much this season, looked really, really, really sharp. You know, if you could look at the other Scotland guys in the team, you're Kieran Tierney, Craig Gordon, Scott Brown, bossed the game again, Stuart Armstrong.
What about Callum McGregor? Should he be in there? Because for me, he should be.
Definitely.
I think this kid's got a real chance of getting in the squad. I'll be very surprised if he's not in the squad. but he's earned that place, hasn't he?
I think he's a kind of Celtic's unsung hero this season. You know, there's been a lot written and a lot said about a lot of the Celtic players this season. You know, guys like Dembele, Sinclair, Brown, Armstrong, and rightly so, because they've been you know, excellent from the start of the season till just now. But Callum McGregor's he's filled in a number of different positions. He even played at left back, and he never let Celtic down. He's a guy, when you take him out of the team, you realise how much you miss him. He's the glue that seems to hold that team together. Very, very clever player. You know, just he's always in the right place at the right time. Doesn't seem to do anything fancy or out of the ordinary, but he just does everything very, very well. Very rarely wastes a pass. He's a terrific finisher. You know, he links play well. Yeah, no, I think he's been outstanding, and I would definitely have him in. Not only in the squad, yeah. I would have him in the starting lineup against England, without a shadow of a doubt.
I also think it was very clever management from Brendan Rodgers last week, and the week before even as well, where he pinpointed Callum McGregor and he made it known, look, this guy's one of your key players this season, and he gave him a bit of attention, a bit of a highlight on him. And I think the fans have maybe started to buy into it, because he was playing on a lot of games without probably getting the recognition. And it's fair play, I think, to Brendan Rodgers to identify that and say, no, look at this guy. We talk about Scott Brown, we talk about other players, but Callum McGregor is a guy he trusts, and that speaks volumes for him.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to the start of the season, I think a lot of Celtic fans maybe thought that Callum McGregor was on his way out. You know, you look at that, brought in a few new faces, and he wasn't in the Celtic team at the start of the season. Think, where's this guy going to figure? You know, what's his role going to be this season? But he was given an opportunity, he's grasped it with both hands, and he's made himself indispensable. And I think Rodgers, he's watched so many of his other players get credit, and I think he just thought, well, this boy really, really deserves his profile to be lifted a bit, and he spoke glowingly of him a couple of weeks ago, and rightly so. And to get back to Scott, you know, Gordon Strachan, we're watching that, man. Memory serves me correct, I think he had him in a couple of his squad a couple of years ago when he first broke into the Celtic team, so he clearly does rate him, and I think he will be in the squad, and it wouldn't surprise me to see him start, because for the last match, Scotland, he filled his team full of Celtic players, brimming with confidence. They know each other's games inside out. You know, it makes sense if they're all fit, still going strong at the end of the season, to get as many of them into that Scotland team as possible.
We're talking about Brendan Rodgers trusting the likes of Callum McGregor and others in that Celtic team. What about Rangers then? How many players can Pedro Caixinha trust right now?
Well, if you look at the last two Old Firm games, then one, possibly two. If you give the goalkeeper the benefit of the doubt. You know, we talked about the Old Firm game at Hampden, the semi-final, how easy it was for Celtic, how one-sided it was. You know, Celtic didn't have to get out of second gear and still strolled into the Scottish Cup final. Pedro Caixinha talked about in the build-up how he was looking for a reaction. You know, he wanted his players to have a bit of fight, a bit of desire, and we absolutely get none of that on Saturday. I mean, Rangers, they conceded a rash penalty after 6-7 minutes and then folded like a pack of cards. I mean, Celtic ran all over them. There was no fight. Absolutely no response whatsoever, apart from Kenny Miller, who ploughed a lone furrow. It doesn't augur well for the how much work he's going to have to do to try and transform that team. Not even to, you know, talking about closing a gap, I think the only thing he can really do is stay within 30-40 points of Celtic at the current rate.
I mean, you look at that squad, Colin, and you do wonder how Rangers can shift these guys on, because if you've got guys in on good contracts here, for me, if you've got guys here, it's almost like a lottery win. That they're in good contracts, they've come to Rangers when they're nowhere near good enough to play for a club the size of Rangers, and yet here they are on good contracts. They're going to be very hard to shift these guys. It's going to be a real issue for Rangers in the summer if Pedro Caixinha is to revamp the squad, which I think we all agree he has to do. He's going to have to get guys out the door.
Well, it all goes back to Mark Warburton's recruitment policy, which is an absolute disaster. Drone, you know, if this summer signing, I mean, you could go through them one by one and say, well, has any of these guys actually been a success? And I don't think there has. He's also saddled them with long-term contracts. You know, if somebody's one of these players, you're going to have to come in and pay money for them. So, and the evidence of this season, is anybody going to come in and offer Rangers serious money for any of these players? I would highly doubt it. I think, is it Kenny Miller and Clint Hill? I think with only two out of contract. Obviously, Kenny Miller's re-signed, which is fair enough. You know, he totally deserves it. Clint Hill's the other one. So all these other guys are in contract. I mean, how's he going to get rid of them? You know, he clearly needs to rebuild his entire team. You'd expect another 11, 12 players coming through the doors in the summer. But to get them in, he needs to get these guys out, and that's what he's been, you know, Warburton's saddled him with. I mean, he's got his tactics completely wrong in the last two Old Firm games, but that's maybe down to the fact he's got so few players that he trusts to go and do a job, and that's all a legacy of the Mark Warburton era.
And when we talk about Celtic, we talk about the mentality, we talk about the winning team spirit at the club, and that's what's missing from Rangers right now, isn't it? That mentality, that character, to say we're up against it here, but we're going to fight for each other. They're not doing it. They're clearly not doing it. You touched on it. Kenny Miller and Wes Fodringham are probably the only two, certainly no doubt with Kenny Miller, Fodringham, you can argue. The rest, what is happening to the rest of those players? They seem to be accepting these defeats, and that must be the worrying thing. That's why Rangers fans left long before the final whistle on Saturday, and that's why they're worried. It must be.
Well, I mean, you can understand if people haven't got enough ability, that's fair enough. And when it comes to ability, Celtic are streets ahead of the Rangers squad at the moment. But the lack of fight, you know, you would think you go up, make it tight, pack the midfield, you know, say let's contain them as for as long as possible. Let's fight for every ball, every 50-50 challenge. I can't remember Rangers winning a 50-50 challenge. I mean, in the middle of the park, how easily Heineman, Josh Windass, Jason Ho, how easily these guys are completely brushed off the ball by Scott Bowne, Stuart Armstrong. It was just so easy. And again, the goals that, you know, we talked about last week when Andy Halliday loses his man, doesn't track back, Celtic scores. That happened all day and Saturday with Heineman and Josh Windass just not bothering, losing the ball, being brushed off the ball, just standing still and let their markers run off them. Time and time again that happened.
What about Kishina? How much of the blame lies at his door? How much does he have to be questioned over, as you say, his tactics? He's got badly wrong in the last two Old Firm games. How much, or how much sympathy do you have with him or for him because of what he's got to work with?
Well, you have to have a bit of sympathy when you can only work with the tools you're given, and what he's got is pretty shabby. I mean, it's a poor squad with poor mentality. You know, see, he's right behind the eight ball from the moment he came in the door. But as Graham Murty proved in the Old Firm match at Celtic Park, you know, that there's ways you can play to try and contain Celtic and try and damage limitation. He packed his team. He showed that day that, you know, they could grind out a result. I mean, it was a one-off, albeit, but they went there against all the odds, a creditable 1-1 draw. Kishina thought, well, it was a bit more open and expansive at Hampden. His players didn't turn up. Pitiful display. And then on Saturday again, you know, he had Dodo, Martin Waghorn up front, Kenny Miller in the midfield. But the best will in the world, Kenny Miller is not a midfield player. Surely if he's going to be on the park, he's in one of the advanced wider roles or through the middle, because his record in these big matches speaks for itself. Two front guys were far, far too isolated. Midfield didn't get anywhere near, you know, winning the battle. Celtic completely overran them. Waghorn, Dodo completely don't touch the ball, and he didn't change it until half time, and then, even then he only tinkered with it. Surely, you know, you should pack the midfield. That's where the game's going to be won and lost, but the game was lost inside 7 minutes.
The thing about them as well, they've got St Johnson breathing down their neck, Colin, for this third place. Do you think Rangers will see it out? Do you think they will go over the line and finish in third, or have they got a battle on their hands for that? Because, well, it's still very tight.
It's not beyond the realms of possibility that St Johnson could pip them at the post for third spot. I mean, there's 6 points in it, so I mean, Rangers should be strong favourites to get there. But I mean, they go to Partick Thistle next week. You know, a team full of confidence and with nothing to lose. I mean, you wouldn't be putting fortunes on Rangers to go there and win, given the, you know, the how low morale must be after two crushing defeats against their biggest rivals.
Now, there has to be a reaction, there's absolutely no doubt about that. And we'll see, as you say, at Fir Hill on Sunday afternoon, whether there is one from Rangers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
But let's touch on that St Johnstone performance and result I was talking about there just a second ago, Colin, because to go to Pittodrie and win 2-0 against an Aberdeen team, for me, who've been fantastic this season, second place by a distance, but they're still going strong, St Johnstone, and to go away from home and get that kind of result, it speaks volumes for Tommy Wright, doesn't it?
It does. It just shows you the benefit of a good manager. I mean Tommy Wright's squad are vastly underrated, but you know, they go to an Aberdeen team flying. By all accounts, Aberdeen had most of the play, completely dominated, but St Johnstone just made it hard for them. Were very organised, very disciplined, just let Aberdeen blow themselves out, as they did against Rangers a couple of weeks ago, hit them in a counter-attack with two late goals. I mean, St Johnstone keep doing it. You know, we shouldn't really be surprised. You know, we keep talking about, oh, St Johnstone pulled off another result, but they've been doing it for the best part of 4 or 5 years under Tommy Wright. You know, the fact that, you know, we're coming in with 4 games to go, they're 6 points behind Rangers. You know, you look at the two budgets, it's night and day. But again, getting back to it, if you've got a good manager who identifies good players and has a good collective team spirit, then that's what you can achieve.
We're maybe going to see some results like this for Aberdeen, aren't we, between now and the cup final, because second place is nailed down. If you guys here, Derek McInnes will probably be giving the squad a bit of a break, trying to rotate one or two guys. We're going to see some of these results, and it shouldn't take the gloss off what's been a fantastic season for them.
No, I mean, they were there, you know, they're essentially achieved second spot before the split, which is a terrific achievement in itself. Yeah, I mean, that's all the thing that they're really interested in now, is trying to avenge that League Cup final defeat at the hands of Celtic, when, you know, when Celtic won 3-0 and Aberdeen couldn't lay a glove on them. You know, they've been desperate to make an impact in this competition, and that's, you know, that's a bit, few players are going to be rested, and they're going to make sure everybody's, you know, recuperated and fully charged for the Scottish Cup final at the end of May. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Aberdeen drop a couple of more points along the way before the season finishes.
And what about the bottom end of the table? Because there was some huge results over the weekend. Kilmarnock, a 2-0 win over Hamilton away from home, fantastic for them. Dundee getting a huge result over Motherwell at Fir Park, winning 3-2, and Ross County on Friday night against Inverness Cali Thistle, Liam Boyce. Let's talk about Liam Boyce, because that was his 21st goal for the season. For a guy who's playing for Ross County, that's a tremendous return. And he's unsung a lot of the time, I think, at the club. To win 4-0 in a game they had to win, and it almost makes Inverness doomed now, doesn't it? They're gone. You've got to think they're gone.
Yeah, there's no way back from Inverness now. They're completely dead and buried. I mean, one win in about 23-24 games mean that their form is absolutely terrible. The players just look beaten. You know, it looks as if they're not playing for a manager. No, I can't see any way humanly possible that they're going to pull off any great escape acts. Yes, they're definitely down, definitely going to finish bottom. Liam Boyce, you know, a similar return last season, you know, for a team at Ross County, just is outstanding goal scorer. He just seems to be one of these street players, you know. He goes 10-15 games without scoring, and then he scores about 10 in the next 5 matches. But anybody that scores four goals in one game, especially a Highland derby, you know, he'll be part of Highland folklore from now on, without a shadow of a doubt.
What about the other games as we touched on? Dundee's win over Motherwell at Fir Park, Neil McCann, his first game in charge, to go there and get that result. They couldn't buy a result under Paul Hartley. It's just one of these things that happens, isn't it? A manager's toiling, they get rid of him and bring a new guy in, and they go, and he goes 3 goals away from home.
It really put that result, put the cat amongst the pigeons, you know, for who's going to be battling it out to fill the playoff place. You know, Motherwell win there, you know, that would have been 8 defeats in the spin for Dundee, and you're thinking, well, you know, that they're just on a tailspin, there's going to be no way back for that. But full marks to Neil McCann, who managed to go to Fir Park and produce a performance like that, given that the form they were in. You know, the players obviously have reacted to him coming in. He's changed a few things up, and by all accounts, they were well worth it. You know, obviously the debated goal that never was for Motherwell
again,
when the ball crossed the line. But when you defend as bad as Motherwell are doing at the moment, then, you know, you're going to play yourself into trouble. Going back to Neil McCann, yeah, fair play, that was a terrific result.
But they still have a lot of work to do, because I think, can we take Kilmarnock out of the equation? We think Kilmarnock are in 7th place just now, 38 points, and below them you've got Ross County on 36, Dundee 33, Hamilton 32, and Motherwell 32. Inverness, as we say, we think are gone on 25. We can pretty much throw a blanket over Ross County, Dundee, Hamilton and Motherwell. Yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Kilmarnock are safe. They're looking pretty safe. They've been on an upward curve for the last few months. Lee McCulloch's done a terrific job, you know, with a young team. I think they're fine. Ross County should be okay, although they're not quite out of it. I think it's going to come down to between Dundee, Hamilton and Motherwell. See who fills that playoff place. I mean, it's a stick a pin in it job, you know, it really is. You know, they're so up and down, it's hard to predict what's going to happen from one week to the next. It makes it fascinating, certainly for the last few weeks of the season.
It's what makes the split good as well, Colin, doesn't it? Because the split that we have in this country gets some criticism at times, but these are the games it throws up. The next 4 weeks are going to be fascinating. It's almost certainly going to go to the last game of the season to see who's in the playoff. As I say, we think Inverness are gone, although they're playing Hamilton the weekend. They win that game, pull the result back, and they might give themselves a chance. But it's why the split works, isn't it?
Yeah, there's probably been more excitement about this, you know, in the bottom half of the table and the top half of the table over the last three or four seasons. I mean, Celtic have been so dominant, but the relegation issues went down to the last, you know, virtually the last day of the season every season for the past four or five seasons. Inverness do look dead and buried, but you know, you think back a couple of years ago to Hibs, you know, Hibs went into the split in seventh place, lost, you know, four of the last five, and they get sucked into the playoff, and then Hamilton beat them. So I don't think Ross County can feel totally that they're going to be playing top flight football next season, which, as I say, the split does have its critics and it can be derided, but it does keep the interest levels going, certainly.
Just to touch on the Championship, Colin, because we're looking at Falkirk, Dundee United and Morton getting into the playoffs from the Championship to play the 11th place team in the Premiership. One of these teams genuinely feel they've got a chance. It's heavily weighted towards the Premiership team, we all know that, rightly and wrongly, that's the way it works. But will these teams feel as though they've got a chance of coming up?
Yeah, I don't think there is much. If you look at the teams in the top half of the Championship, even some of the teams at the bottom half of the Championship, given the form St Mirren are in at the moment, and the bottom half of the Premiership, I don't really think there is much in it. You know, I don't think, whether it was Falkirk, Dundee United or Morton, whoever it is it gets into the playoff final, will be worried about facing a Motherwell, a Hamilton or a Dundee. Not one little bit. I think they will fancy their chances of beating them over two legs.
But they do play a lot more games. They'll go into that game, you know, having grafted their way into that position, and that's why it tends to be the Premiership team that stays up.
But it comes down to a freshness factor, doesn't it? We've watched it in the last couple of seasons where Rangers and Hibs Hibs dropped out, you know, Rangers, and just, you know, they're playing so many games, they get into the playoff, they've got nothing left, you know, when Motherwell beat them. That's happened the last two or three seasons. Yeah, it is definitely waiting. Happened again last season when Kilmarnock played Falkirk and Falkirk ran out of steam. That'd be the only negative against the teams in the Championship. But when it comes to, you know, footballing ability and belief, I don't think they'll have any worries in that score.
Well, certain to be some high drama between now and the end of the season, Colin. There's absolutely no doubt of that. The top of the table's done, but there's some huge games to come at the bottom. Thanks very much for joining myself, Robert Grieve. With me was Colin Duncan from the Scottish Sun, William Hill.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.